Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to have a visit with an Orthodox rabbi who's building bridges of friendship between Christians in America and Jews in Israel. His name is Rabbi Tuli Weiss, and his website is Israel365.com. He's, by the way, introduced a newly released study Bible called the Israel Bible, which he edited. They have a news site called BreakingIsraelNews.com, which reaches the largest pro-Israel audience on the Internet, which is saying a lot. And also their email newsletter goes to over 150,000 subscribers all over the world. And Rabbi Weiss happens to be in the United States at this time. Rabbi, thank you so much. It's great to meet you over the phone.
Well, thank you for having me on your program.
Sure. So tell us about your own particular journey in terms of attempting to build bridges of friendship between Christians in America and Jews. And I understand you would basically say, hey, look, evangelical Christians in America are among the best friends that the nation of Israel has.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I grew up in Ohio, United States, and I grew up in a Jewish community and really had very little interaction with any Christians. Even, you know, as surprising as that may sound, the Jewish community really, you know, and Christians are not, you know, as engaged with each other because of the history, the bad history between, you know, Judaism and Christianity. And so I know for myself, the first time I had relationships with Christians was only when I was serving as a rabbi, as a faith leader in the Jewish community. And so I started to recognize just how sincere Christians are on behalf of Israel, and how they are coming towards the Jewish people with great friendship and without strings attached in really unprecedented ways. And the Jewish community is slowly recognizing how friendly and how wonderful the relationship truly is and the opportunity that we have is. So for me, it's been a new journey, and I think that represents the greater Jewish community. This is a new era in Jewish-Christian relationships.
Mm. And where do you actually live? In Jerusalem?
I live right near Jerusalem, correct, right outside of Jerusalem, in a city called Beit Shemesh, Israel.
What's it called?
Yes. It's called Beit Shemesh, B-E-I-T, Beit Shemesh. It means the house of the sun. It's mentioned in the book of Joshua, and it's a wonderful city. A lot of people from America have moved there, so there's a lot of English spoken, which is nice for me because my Hebrew still needs a little bit of improvement.
Sure. By the way, you were in a better cell phone zone earlier than you are at the moment. So if you can get back to whatever it was, that was great.
Sure.
No, I appreciate that.
Okay.
You often write regularly a column for the Jerusalem Post. So can you give us just a few examples of some of the recent, just the subjects of some of the columns you wrote about, just to kind of give an idea of, you know, where your heart is and stuff?
Yeah, I wrote a column every month in the Jerusalem Post, which is called Unto the Nations, which is really about the Jewish people, our historic role to become a light unto the nations, which to me really means reaching out beyond our boundaries and our comfort zone sometimes, to especially reach out to Christians and to really discuss the Bible and to encourage this idea that we have more in common than what divides us. And again, our history, we've always been focused on that which separates us.
Okay,
and
bad zone. We're back in the bad zone. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, that sounds better.
That sounds great.
This is better. Okay. All right. So I apologize, but I was just saying that in the history between Jews and Christians, it was the Bible that really separated Jews and Christians, which is, you know, Christianity developed as an offshoot of Judaism, and immediately almost started saying, our Bible replaced your Bible. Our Bible is better than your Bible. And the New Testament replaced the Old Testament. And so it led to a lot of bad blood, led to a lot of anti-Semitism. And now we're in a time where Jews and Christians are coming together out of our shared love for the Bible, which I really think is a wonderful thing.
Have you had a chance yet to go to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.? Because that's a first-rate museum.
Yes, I was there today. I'm actually calling. I am in Washington now.
Oh, fantastic.
And I took my children there, and it was unbelievable. Oh, wow, what an experience. And they do such a great job to talk about the impact of the Bible throughout history. Mm-hmm. And they're so sensitive, I think, to the Jewish community. And, you know, they really went out of their way to make it a museum for everybody.
Hmm. Oh, okay, now, on the American campuses, a lot of American university campuses, there's a big push against Israel, I'm sorry to say, and in fact, there's disinvestment campaigns going on. Some people are almost treating Israel, the modern state of Israel, as if it's like the reincarnation of South Africa 30 years ago under apartheid. And I just want your reaction to that.
Yeah, it's really a tragedy because there's Israel, since its founding 70 years ago in 1948, we have just been up against so much opposition. Nobody wanted Israel to declare statehood. This is, I mean, just to remember, right after the Holocaust was over, where 6 million Jews were killed. And nevertheless, the world really was not supportive of the founding of the state. And then, nevertheless, thanks to God's grace, miraculous military victories, Israel was successful. And not only successful in defending its borders, but enlarging its borders, creating a democracy in a region where democracy is entirely unknown beyond Israel. And so instead of, so, and then Israel really has also spent the innovation and so much resources developing great innovation that really, really has a positive impact on the entire world through medical technology, agricultural technology. And so, you know, despite all of that, you know, instead of the world sort of saying, how can we help Israel? What can we do to support Israel? So much focus is on how Israel is really is the source of problems in the Middle East. And so it's really, I think, a lack of education, lack of information, and just, you know, plain old-fashioned prejudice against anti-Semitism.
Huh. Well, and it's scary, though, because as a movement, it seems like it's pretty strong on these different campuses, and we see this situation where conservative speakers, this has certainly been true of Christian speakers, they try and speak on a college campus, and then there's the people that essentially shout them down. They shut down their ability to even, I mean, in the case of Ann Coulter, and, you know, she may be a firebrand or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, she didn't even get to speak at Berkeley, the so-called home of free speech. And the same phenomenon is happening for those who support traditional, you know, Israel, your country.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the Museum of the Bible, and I was there today, like I said. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous museum, but there were guards with bomb-sniffing dogs walking around throughout the museum. And, you know, I was at a few museums. I took my kids on a tour of Washington, D.C., and the monuments and the museums. It was the only place that I saw bomb-sniffing dogs. And, you know, it speaks to the fact that there's so much opposition to the Bible, to Israel, and it's coming from the same places. And it's like you said, these parts of our society that really pride themselves on being open-minded and progressive. Yet, how, you know, the conservative institutions, the Museum of the Bible, the State of Israel, is, you know, are areas that are under siege. If you go to the airport, and if you're flying to Israel, it's a whole different experience when you're flying anywhere else in the world. It's like kind of this, it's just, you feel this sense of the security that is so necessary, really, because there's so many haters out there who stand against Israel, who stand against the Bible, and nevertheless, you know, those who love Israel, those who love the Bible, have to really stick together and are sticking together. Jews, Christians today, more than ever.
By the way, earlier you were saying that when Israel became a nation, nobody was there to support it or to say yes or whatever. And I think, well, wait a minute, President Truman signed off on this and said yes, and the United States did. So, I mean, I think that's a huge point. And speaking of the United States and presidents, what does Israel think of the President Trump?
No, you're correct that the United States was the exception to the rule. You know, beyond some kind of smaller Latin American countries, and it was the United States that stood immediately with Israel and has for the last 7 years. And today, more than ever, the administration today is more pro-Israel than any administration, certainly more than President Truman's administration, who really were discouraging him from recognizing the state of Israel. He did so because he had a strong biblical foundation. Israelis were skeptical about Donald Trump, President Trump, but he has shown over the last number of really months how far he's willing to go to support Israel. He's put together this tremendously supportive administration and beyond the administration. The ambassador to Israel is a real strong defender of the full boundaries of Israel, and certainly Nikki Haley of the United Nations there's never been more of a warrior for Israel in the United Nations. So Israelis, you know, have sort of a chutzpah. They speak brashly themselves. They don't necessarily mince words, and they don't really buy into the whole politically correct notion of speaking. So they do appreciate the president's way of, you know, talking, and certainly his actions very much.
How safe is it to live in Israel? I mean, you live there and you grew up in Ohio, but now you live in yeah. Israel. How safe is it for you and your family, your children?
Well, it's funny because we were just, you know, on a book tour for the Israel Bible. So I was with my family in Ohio. And before we were in Washington, and even in Columbus, Ohio, you know, everybody locks their doors at night. In Israel, nobody really locks their doors at night, you know, in my neighborhood at least. Despite what you watch on the media or what you hear about, that it's a war zone. Anybody who's ever been to Israel knows that that's not the case. It's a beautiful, peaceful, quiet, safe land and country. There's a strong military presence that is necessary to fight against the terrorists, and there's a lot of enemies sort of who are trying, but Israel's got the best army in the world, and certainly God is watching over Israel, so you really feel the safety blanket and the protection when you're there.
We have less than a minute to go. Wasn't there some sort of fence or wall or border that was built that before that there were all these attacks on buses, Sbarro's Pizza, and then after that it all tapered off because, you know, you guys were able to control things better?
Yeah, Israel has to invest a lot in its security and does what's necessary to sort of keep the bad guys out. And they're doing a good job despite all odds and tremendous adversity. They're really doing a great job. I want to just, you know, encourage you to come visit. Your listeners should visit Israel, and really appreciate you taking time to teach your listeners more about Israel. And that's really appreciated because, again, we're in a special time where not only Jews are interested in what's happening in Israel, non-Jews are praying for the peace of Jerusalem every day. And it really, really means a lot to all the people in Israel.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rabbi, for sharing. Rabbi Tuli Weiss, Weisz, Israel365.com for more information. Thank you, Rabbi. All the best. God bless you now.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.